Parshas Ki Tetzei. In Parak Chof Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, the Torah says, Lo Yovoi Amoini Umayovi Bekawa Hashem. As we know, there is an Issa Deraita for a member of Amoin Umoyov to enter the Jewish nation. Why? The Torah specifically spells out Al Dvar Asher Leikidmu Eschem Balechem Ubamayim, because they didn't greet you with bread and water, Baderech Betzeischem in Mitzrayim. You were on the way out of Mitzrayim, you passed through their land, and you would have thought the least they could have done for you was to greet you with Lechem and Mayim. As the Mepharshim point out, after all, they are descendants of Lot, and Lot, after all, was saved by Avraham Avinu. So you would have thought that Amon Amoyev should have a bit of Akaras HaTayis. We are the descendants of Lot, and you are the descendants of Avraham. So your ancestor saved ours. So it would have only been right for them to have greeted them with Lechem and Mayim, and because they didn't, they're disqualified from entering Klal Yisrael.
My understanding is they can convert.
There's a discussion about conversion, but either way, only after the 10th generation. Even after the 10th generation, it will not help. It will not help. Unless we're talking about the female members, that the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, there was a drosha, amoini v'loi amoinis, moyav v'loi moyavis. Now we know that Amoin and Moyav specifically displayed two dominant middos. Number one, as the Torah clearly spells out, a total lack of the middo of chesed. They should have welcomed their guests, even if not a whole gourmet meal, but at least lechem u'mayim. Klal Yisrael are the nation of chesed, so therefore there's an incompatibility. Sorry, you cannot enter our nation. But we know that there is another middle that they displayed, and that was that when Bilam wanted to bring about the downfall of Klal Yisrael, so he hired them, the Bnois Midyon, to get Klal Yisrael to be over the Avera of Znus, and they have, of course, had catastrophic consequences. In other words, you see that besides for lacking the middle of Chesed, they also clearly lack the middle of Tznius. Znus is just the opposite of Tznius. Furthermore, we know that the nation Moyov, why are they called Moyov? Moyov is an acronym for May Av. The Benois Lot had two sons, one called Amoin and one called Moyov. Moyov, May Av, means they actually named the child after their father from whom they came. It's bad enough the Aveiro was done, but you have to name the child after the Aveiro. Moyov, May Av. So we see over here that Amoin and Moyov collectively both lack the midos of chesed and also the midos of tznius. There is an astonishing point that needs to be indeed pointed out. I saw this in the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, which is authored by Reb Chaim Friedlander, who is the Mashkiach in the Ponovich Yeshiva. And he has a piece, an essay on Shavuot. And he's talking about Rus. Rus, we know, comes from Moyov, Rus HaMoyavia. And he points out the most phenomenal thing. If we were to write a biography about Rus, what would we say were her chief midos that she excelled in? So the Medrash, in fact, in the beginning of Rus, says that why indeed was the Megillah of Rus taught to us? What is it teaching us? And the Lashon of the Medrash is, we don't learn any Issa V'Heta from there, or Tumah V'Tahara. So what's the point? What is Megillah Rus teaching us? Says the Medrash, V'loi Nichtavo. It was only written, L'lamedcha, to teach us about the Tzchah for Goyim Leichatovim, for those who carry out acts of Chesed, namely Rus. And if you go through the Megillah, you see that time after time, she accompanied her mother-in-law, Normi, she was Megaya, she did Yibum with Boyaz, act after act after act of chesed, so much so that the Medrash says that is the entire purpose of the whole Megillah. Another middle. We know that the Medrash points out that Boaz entered the field and he says, who's that girl over there? And Chazal points out it's a strange question for Boaz to ask. Not perhaps appropriate for Boaz, the great leader of Klal Yisrael, to inquire about the welfare of a young girl or of a woman. So Chazal say, no, what he was so taken about was her tzrius. That was so exceptional, he wanted to know who this was. So let's stop and think of it here. The most phenomenal thing. Ruth excels in two midos. Which midos? Chesed and tzrius. And she emanates from Moyov, who we just said are the absolute antithesis of chesed and tzrius. Unbelievable. Moyav cannot join Klal Yisrael. They could not be further removed from the middle of Chesed. So much so they can't even join our nation. And Tzniyas, they're a whole nation of Znus, causing others to be over Znus, they themselves. So they're the absolute polar opposites of Chesed and Tzniyas. And their descendant Rus excels in Chesed and Tzniyas. So the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Freelander, explained after pointing this out, it's an eye-opening horror. So he says the explanation is as follows. It's true that Ruth comes from Moyav, but let's not stop there. Let's keep on going. Where does Moyav come from? Moyav comes from Loit. Where does Loit come from? Loit was brought up, he was a Talmud of Avram Avinu and Sora Imenu. Avram is the Amud HaChesed. Avram was Moisa Nefesh his whole life for Chesed. And in fact, Chazal point out clearly to Rashi and Pashas Vayera that that made its way through to Loit. Loit in Sodom. Sodom was a place where it was the last place you practiced the middle of Chesed. And Loit was Moisa Nefesh to look after the Malachim. Says Rashi, Mi Beis Avraham Lomad. He learned this from the house of Avraham to look after guests. So much so that the Midah of Chesed became part and parcel of his personality that he was able to carry out Chesed even in the most difficult of circumstances. Not only that, he points out that whereas it's true the Benois Loit and their Aveira with their father Loit is of course not to be condoned in any way whatsoever, but ultimately their Kavona was to Chesed. As Chazal say, why did they get involved in this act? Because they thought the whole world was destroyed. They didn't realize that actually some were spared. So they said, one second, the purpose of the world is to be filled with people. And if the world is destroyed and we're the only ones left, there's going to be no future. So we're here to fill the world. So albeit it's true, it was incorrect and totally inappropriate the manner and the fashion by which they wanted to further their plan, and indeed they're punished for it. But ultimately their kavona emanated from the middle of Chesed. Because they come from Loit. And Loit is a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. One can add, Loit is also a Talmud of, not just his host, Avraham Avinu, but also his hostess, Sora Imenu. And what was her midah? The Malachim came and they said to Avraham Avinu, Aye, Sora Ishtecho, where's your wife? And he says, she's in the oil, she's in the tent. Why? Because she's a tzanua. She's tzanua. Avraham Avinu, remember when he comes to Mitzrayim, he turns to his wife and he says, Ato yodati, now I know ki eshes yifas mare'at. I know you're a beautiful woman, I never knew until now. But why didn't he know until now? Because she was a tzanua. When Yitzchak eventually was born, Chazal said that a miracle occurred. She was able to nurse hundreds of other babies, but she didn't want to initially. She thought it would be a lack of smear. That's her middle. So it's true that Ruth is a descendant of Moav, and Moav are the opposite of Chesed and the opposite of smear. But Moav comes from Loit, and Loit comes from Avraham and Sarah. He was a Talmid of Avraham and Sarah, who epitomized these middos of Chesed and smears, and indeed they filtered their way all the way through the generations until the times of Ruth. So he points out, you see from over here a remarkable thing, that a spark of Ruchnis, a spark of Kedusha, a Midot Toivo, is never lost. It's never lost. It will filter its way through the generations, all the way from Avraham and Sarah to Lot, via Moav, and indeed several generations later, it arrives at Ruth. And Ruth is the Eima Malchus. She's the mother of David HaMelech, as it were, and of the Mashiach, with these very powerful and dominant middos of Tznius and Chesed. And he points out there, very fascinating, in a small little footnote at the bottom of the page, Reb Freelander points out, he says, you know, even now, inexplicably, on occasion we see a family who seem to be so removed from Torah and mitzvahs, and yet, would you believe it, they have a child who ends up being a big tzaddik. How did that happen? And the answer is, it's zechus avos. Very often, this family, you can be rest assured, even though maybe they themselves were not shomrei Torah or mitzvahs, but they were the children of, or the grandchildren of, or the great-grandchildren of, or maybe further back, but ultimately, those middos filtered their way through. Now, in fact, in Parashas Nitzavim, in Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, maybe there is somebody over here in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Is there somebody over here? Yesh Bochem Shoyresh Poire Roish V'la'ano. What does that mean? Chof Tes Yuzayin. Shoyresh Poire Roish Velano. Is there somebody here in Klal Yisrael with an evil Shoyresh? These are bitter herbs. The Ramban on that pasuk writes the following words. He says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in fact warning Klal Yisrael was, is there anybody here with an evil root? Because if there is, he should know that he's not only influencing himself, but possibly future generations to come as well, because that will filter its way through. So here's the Shoyresh, but it will filter through in the branches that emanate from him. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains the following. We know that Yaakov Avinu davened, I don't want to be mentioned in relationship with the story of Korach. I don't have anything to do with it. B'soidom al tovoi nafshi. Don't mention my name, even though it's my descendant. And indeed, you look at the Torah, what does it say? Korach, ben Yitzhar, ben Kohos, ben Levi. And it stops. Doesn't say Ben Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov davened, I don't want to have my name mentioned in relation with this story. So the simple interpretation is that what? It's embarrassing. It's a bizoyen. If I don't associate my name with this tragic event. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that no, perhaps there's a further understanding. It wasn't merely that I don't want my name to be mentioned. What in fact he was davening was that I don't want to be the source of this. I don't, chas v'shalom, want to develop a midah which eventually in future generations will result in the story of Korach. In other words, he could clearly see with Ruach HaKodesh that the Maaseh of Korach was going to occur. I don't want it to be the result in any which way of some bad midah on my part. And therefore, I don't want my name mentioned with it, because I don't have any relationship with it, not because of the bizarre, because of the responsibility. I don't want to be held accountable for that story that's going to happen in hundreds of years. Why would you be held accountable? Well, if it was your bad midah that eventually filtered its way through to Korach, then in some small way, you have a big part to play in this story. So he was davening, I don't have any part to play in this story at all. And of course, this is really the lesson that we learn in the beginning of this week's parasha. How does the parasha begin? Parasha begins with the parasha of Eishes Yifas Toyar. And before you know it, you're on to the Ben Seirer Umayra. So Rashi points out, what is the juxtapositioning of the two parashiyot? So Rashi says, because one will inevitably lead into the other. He will go to war. He will marry this Yifas Toyar. And what type of child will they have? A Ben Seirer Umayra. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains, why will one result in the other? Because how did the Eishes Yifas Toyar story begin? How indeed did it begin? With one word. The Torah says, V'choshakta. He had a cheshek. He had a lust. As the Torah writes, Rashi pointed out, it was a Yetzahara, Leidibra Torah, a Keneged Yetzahara. He was unable to curb his own taivos. So ultimately, this whole marriage, this union of himself and the Yifas Toyar was predicated on this midah of Taivos. It is no surprise, therefore, that their child is the Seira Umayra, who indeed also follows his Taivos, eating and drinking. So it's not merely an oinash, a punishment, but rather it's the natural follow-on from this midah that was ingrained in their children by the father's own midah of the Choshakta. But there is, however, a very, very important addition that I think we need to add over here as an addendum. Because you might turn around and say, well, one moment. So what do I do if my father, or my grandfather, or my great-grandfather, or five generations had bad midas? That's it, I'm doomed, I'm finished. So this poor Seir Omeira, because his father violated the Choshakta bo, so I'm held responsible. That's it, I'm finished, I'm doomed, I'm a no-hoper. Or for that matter, the other way around. Because your ancestor had a midah of sneers or chesed, that's it, I'm a made tzaddik, booked my spot in Gan Eden. We discussed earlier on this year Parshas Toldos said that when Rivka Imenu, while pregnant with Yaakov and Esav, the Chazal tell us, "Vayistreitzu habonim bekirbo." Whenever she passed a shul, Yaakov tried to exit. Whenever they passed a Beis Avodah Zarah, Esav tried to exit. So it was quite clear, lechayra, right from the outset, before they were even born, that Yaakov is a maid tzaddik and Esav is a made Russia. So how can Esav be held accountable and how can Yaakov be held rewardable? It seemed to be that it was all predestined. Long before they were even born, Yaakov Avinu wants to go to the Beis HaMedrash and Esav wants to go to the Beis HaVeidah Zarah. The Rambam writes, on the one hand, in Hilchos Deos, he says, you must know v'chol ha-deyos. The Rambam always uses the word deyos to mean midos. Midos. Says the Rambam that you must know that some people have midos in one particular direction, others have a different midah, a third person, a third midah. says the Rambam, all of these are mitchilas briosoi, ingrained in him right from the outset, from the time he was born, lefi teva gufoi. So what's the Rambam saying? Somebody's born, for example, as a baal ka'af, that's it, subject closed, he's going to be an angry person all his life, and constantly nichshal in the middle of ka'af. Is that what the Rambam is saying? And he cannot therefore snap out of it. You know, the Rambam himself in Hilchos Tshuva says, anybody who assumes, and listen to how sharply the Rambam writes, he says, there are some people, tipshei umos ha'olam, the idiots of the world, that's how the Rambam describes these people, who think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer. He said, some people foolishly think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, al ha'odam, mitchilas briyosai, from the moment he's born, liyos tzadik eirosha. He said, they're foolish. Do you know why? Ein hadovar kein. Not true. Elo, kol odom, ro'u lo'i liyos tzadik. Any person can be a tzadik, k'moish rabbeinu. Or rasha, k'yerovom. Hu me'atzmoi umidaitoi. He on his own volition will have to make that decision, le'ezer derech she'yirtzeh, which path is he going to adopt. So one second. Don't we have an open and glaring contradiction in the Rambam? The Rambam on the right hand, on the one hand, says some foolish people think that it's all been decreed and predestined mitchilas briyosoi whether this fellow is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, and he says that's a lot of nonsense. Absolutely not true. The Rambam himself uses the same words that mitchilas briyosoi a person has a certain middle in this direction and that direction. So is it predestined or it's not predestined? Seems to be a very clear contradiction in the words of the Rambam. So we explain then that it's absolutely no contradiction whatsoever. And the reason why it's not a contradiction is that we must distinguish between the midos of a person and the behavior of a person. Those are two separate subjects, and never the twain shall meet, necessarily. The midos and the behavior. It's true, the midah of a person is ingrained in him, mitzchilas brios. It's up to him now to decide what he does with that midah. How will he channel it? How will he best use it, l'toiv and not l'ra? If you look very clearly, it's absolutely glaring. The Rambam is discussing two subjects. Whether you be a tzaddik or a rasha is nothing to do with what your personality is. It's to do with what your behavior is. How did you behave? What did you actually do in Olam Hazeh? It might well be that a person has a dispensation in a particular direction. The Gemara tells us, for example, in Shabbos, the famous Gemara, that if somebody is born to the mazel of Ma'adin, which I believe is the planet Mars, then he has a dispensation to blood. So the Gemara says, he has to now make a choice. Either he's going to be a murderer, or he could be a shofet, or he could be a moil. Rest assured, he's going to be one of the two. He has that dispensation. Does that mean he's a predestined tzaddik? Or a predestined Rasha? No. Ubocharto b'chaim. That's his own choice. That's what the Rambam is saying. It's true he has that middle. He has that dispensation. Now it's his job to make sure he uses it. L'toyt. So become a sheikhet or a moil, don't chas v'shom and become a reiter. So it's true Esav had a dispensation, had a netiah to a particular direction, and Yaakov had a netiah to a different direction. The question is, what are you going to do with that netiah? You're not guaranteed anything. Predestined tzaddik? A predestined rasha? Anybody who thinks that way, says the Rambam, is tipshei umos ha'olam. David HaMelech, would you believe it, had a very similar dispensation to that of Esau. David HaMelech is called in the Navi Admoini, the red one, same as Esau. And Esau became Esau, and David became David. So clearly, it's true, he had a natir, he had a dispensation perhaps to blood. So how did he use it? He became the great fighter on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Esau became the Ish Tzai, became the great murderer. So ultimately, Esau chose a path of Rishus. And Yaakov chose a path of Tzidkus. But it was their own choice, and it was their own avodah, based on their midos, which indeed were ingrained in them, mitchilas b'yosef. So therefore we must never think, chas v'shalom, that if somebody is the son, the grandson, the great-grandson, the descendant of somebody who displayed a particular midah, that means his life is organized for him, and is predestined, and there's no way to change it. No, it means he might well have a nitiyah in a particular direction. Now it's up to him to make sure to channel it and to use it with Te'eles and the Toiv. Such that Ruth had those midos in her of Tznius and Chesed, for which way is it going to be channeled? Moav also had those midos of Tznius and Chesed, and look where they took them. They were either Znus, the Torah refers to Znus as Chesed. Znus, we once discussed this barichus on another occasion, Znus really is the ultimate chesed, which is unbridled and unchanneled and unfettered. But its shirish is, in fact, its chesed.
Arias.
Znus, Arias. So they also had that same dispensation, but look how they misappropriated it. The gadlus of Rus was to take these midos and use them, l'toyt. So she became ultimately the Baalas Chesed and a worthy Eim HaMalchus, the great grandmother of David HaMelech, and ultimately the Eim HaMalchus of the Mashiach. So on the one hand, we're learning an important lesson that Ruth ultimately had these midos from her all the way back to Loit, who was a Talmud of Avraham and Sarah, who displayed midos of Chesed and Tznius. But be rest assured that that was no guarantee that she was going to become the great Rus Hamoy Aviyah. It was her own personal Avodah Tachayim that indeed made her the great Rus Hamoy Aviyah. Just finally, a short point. Binyana Diyayim, which occurred to me this year. We've been saying for almost 2 weeks now, every single day after Shacharis, an hour minute after Maariv, L'David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi Mimi Ira. David HaMelech says, I have nobody to be afraid of. Mimi Ira. Mimi Efchot. Not frightened of anybody. Why? Because I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the second pasuk in that perek, David HaMelech says, "Bikroiv olai mereim." When my mereim, reim from the word ra, evil, my enemies, bikroiv olai, when they draw near to me, and what do they want to do to me? It says, "Le'choil es besori," to consume my flesh. Sorai v'oivai li, that my worst enemies. Clearly, if they want to consume my flesh, we're talking about the most evil, cruel people. What do they want to do to me? And what happens? Says David HaMelech, they stumble and they fall. Nothing happens to me. Absolutely fine. Why? Because I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha. I'm protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They stumble and they fall. The Malbim points out, it doesn't say that I beat them in battle. I don't have to do anything. That's what it says. Hagam shani loy e'esem negdom dovor. I don't do anything. On occasion, I wasn't even aware that they were out to get me, says David HaMelech. And nonetheless, hey, more koshlu than a follow. The most classic example of this that I can think of As the Navi tells us, we talk about this in on the Seder night, Vayiba Chatzos Halayla, Sancheiros, the Melech Ashur besieges Yerushalayim. He has conquered all before him. He has hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Somebody told me in the Chazal it says 170,000 soldiers, a colossal army that besieged Yerushalayim. And it says in the Navi, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, what did he do? Went to bed. That was his battle plan. Went to bed. The Gemara describes that Sancheir would rather put out by this. Imagine you come with your state-of-the-art tanks and battles and soldiers, and you at least expect a bit of respect by your enemy. Let him see, let's see what you can give back. It says he went to bed. What happened? Hatzos HaLaila, the Malach came and wiped out all of Sancheir's army. Not a bullet was fired. This is Mamash Akim of this Pasuk. The Krovolai Moraim, all these evil enemies of mine are coming to attack me. Koshlu v'nafalu, I didn't beat them in battle because there was no battle. They just fell and they stumbled. That's what the Pasuk says. But perhaps over here, there is one further point. Sometimes, we have a plan. We have a program. We have an idea. I'm going to try and achieve the following. And I invest time and energy and work and effort and money, and the plan doesn't work. Terrible disappointment. Why didn't it work? So we as believing Jews will tell you it didn't work, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu obviously didn't want it to work. It's as simple as that. But we're all too quick to rationalize it. Oh, you know why it didn't work? Just say it didn't work because Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want it to work. No, because I entered the wrong way and I invested in the wrong time. If only I would have done it differently. When can you not rationalize? Do you know when you can't rationalize? Do you know when you cannot explain away the Yad Hashem? You cannot explain away the Yad Hashem. Imagine the following scenario. Farmer goes into his field and he thinks that I'm going to plant my field, I'm going to invest $100,000 in planting cucumbers. Fine. He plants cucumbers. Now, he knows it's a risk. It will be a bad season, a bad crop, the weather, the insects. Comes at the end of the year, there's not a single cucumber in his field. But instead, the field is full of tomatoes. How did that happen? That can't be rationalized. If the cucumbers wouldn't have grown, you say, well, I didn't plant it at the right time, it wasn't the right weather, it wasn't the right season, it was this and it. But how does tomatoes grow from cucumber seeds? You know what he does? He holds up his hands and he says, clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. I have no way of explaining this. I was trying to do A, how did B happen? I understand, if I wasn't successful, I wasn't successful, but how did something else happen completely? I clearly see the Yad Hashem. Klal Yisrael, for example, in Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim have this mission. Havon Yitzchak Moloi, we're going to kill them and we're going to decimate this nation. And what does it say? Not only did they not succeed in making them smaller, but ultimately, they multiplied. Ka'asher Ya'anu Oisoi. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. One second, the team are left here scratching their heads. If our plan wasn't successful, that's bad enough. But how did it end up producing the opposite result? That's the greatest Kiddush Hashem. There's no way that could be explained. The Tzfardea emerges from the Nile, and they beat it up black and blue. What happens? It just produces more and more and more Tzfardea. Now, if it wouldn't have killed off the Tzfaradeya, so you could have rationalized that. We didn't hit it in the right way, and it wasn't the right time. And instead of saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, you could in theory have explained it away. So how do you explain, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, here we are trying to kill the Tzfardeh, and the only thing was we managed to produce the exact opposite. That's the Yad Hashem. You see the Yad Hashem. There's no way out. Mitzrayim are trying to kill out Klal Yisrael and do everything they can to wipe them out. So Paro introduces a Gzeira, that's what? All the boys are being killed in the Nile. It turns out his own Gzeira, and in fact his own daughter in his own palace, raises the person that ultimately saves Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. How did that happen? That's the exact opposite of what he was trying to achieve. Haman HaRasha has a plan. He wants to promote himself and bring about the downfall of Mordechai HaTzadik. Had he not been successful, that would have been bad enough. But how did the opposite happen? Before he knows it, he's marching Mordechai around town and he's giving him covers. How did that happen? How did my plan go so horribly wrong that not only was it unsuccessful, but it actually brought about the opposite effect? That, obviously, is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. The greatest Kiddush Hashem. Why? Because you see the Yad Hashem clearly. Maybe that's what Dovid HaMelech was saying over here. The Kroiv Olayim Reim. My enemies who are so evil are out to get me and consume my flesh. How does the pasuk continue? It doesn't say, and Baruch Hashem, they were unsuccessful. No! Kashlu v'nafalu, they themselves fell. They were the ones who stumbled. They were the ones who fell. What did I do, as the Malbim says? Absolutely nothing. Chizkiyahu HaMelech went to bed. That's what Dovid HaMelech is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Look at this remarkable hashkacha. Not only were those who were plotting against me not succeed in their evil mission, doesn't say v'loy hitzlichu, they were unsuccessful. More than that, kashlu v'nafalu, they stumbled and fell. They were the ones who ultimately suffered. How did that happen? How did we have a plan to go and consume and be misgaber over Dovid HaMelech? And not only were we unsuccessful, but we ourselves were damaged. And we ourselves were harmed. The answer is, that's the Yad Hashem. And that's what Dovid HaMelech is ultimately praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. This incredible hashkacha that he was zeicha to, that not only were his enemies unsuccessful, but to the contrary, they were successful in bringing about the exact opposite result of what they were trying to achieve. And history has shown us this, as we mentioned in Mitzrayim, many, many examples, but perhaps one example comes to mind in more recent times. We know there was the great yeshiva in Volozhin, which the Russian authorities insisted teaches secular studies, and a decision was taken, the yeshiva has to be closed. History shows that the closing of the Volozhin yeshiva was actually the catalyst for the opening and founding of hundreds of other yeshivas. Hundreds of other yeshivas. So the great Russian government are there, patting themselves on the back. Ah! We've brought about the downfall of the yeshiva of Volozhin. No. You brought about the tremendous growth and flourishing yeshiva world. Because ultimately that precipitated the opening and the establishing of hundreds and hundreds of yeshivas. We don't always understand the Darachei Hashem. But one thing is for certain. We recognize that in all circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's pulling the strings and he's the boss. But it's most evident in stories like these. The Krov Olai Mareim, they're trying to bring about my downfall. And what happened? Ultimately, the only thing they were successful in was they brought about their own downfall. And that's the Hashkochas Hashem that Dovid HaMelech is ultimately describing. Yeah,